Brother JT, we appreciate you leaving us in.
The manna was something.
The manna was something.
Yeah, it just failed every night. They just woke up and picked it up. Sweet cake.
Who paid for that?
Sweet cake, Lord, seen it.
Who paid for it?
They got to complaining about it, so they had to send some meat with it.
Quail.
And it didn't even stop them from complaining, you know, it just kept on.
Right.
Kept on complaining.
And then they went out there and tried to pick up enough to do another week.
And it didn't work.
And then it got worms in it. They put it up in the cupboard.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Put it up in the cupboard and then it got worms in it. Wasn't no good.
Because of complaints.
People just gathered enough for the day.
And they tried to gather it for all week long.
Yeah, on our, well, it would be Saturday, so they go gather enough to do for Sunday too.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't gather no more, that's enough.
But I heard somebody ask the question, and that was the reason I was asking why I did it.
Yeah.
Foolishly, of course. Who paid for it?
The meaning of it is a little white cake. It was sweet to the taste.
How big was that cake?
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
No, we don't do it.
It was enough.
Yeah, enough. Exactly. Correct. Enough. That's a good terminology. The Lord takes care of us.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where to begin or what to say.
Yeah. Where are we going?
Well, I have two different passages, and I don't know which one to start on first. We will start on one in a few minutes. Normally, the last Sunday of the month, we go to the Lord in prayer.
Is this the last Sunday?
This is the last Sunday of the month.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Well, you're right, it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So normally we mark it on the calendar as a day of prayer. But there's another scripture in the Bible about praying without ceasing.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, but several of the songs that we sang this morning had words about praying. And they are a blessing. But right now, we're going to go over in a minute to a scripture that talks about praying. Praying without ceasing. And I want to read a passage in the book of Psalms. Psalms 62, I believe, if I can see it. I can see better with by taking my glasses off, so forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
What psalm, I'm sorry?
Did I say?
I don't know.
I'm not sure I did.
I thought you said 62.
That is correct. I thought not Psalm 60, but I want to go to 62 because it's a little bit longer. And I'm going to basically read it. But I don't want you to just listen to the words that I progress. I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to your heart. David presented this song to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. But I like the whole song, Bruce.
Sure.
In fact, I like all the songs.
That's good.
Lately, I have been reading through the Psalms, and this one I come across here, and it seemed to mean something to me, Brother JT. And I think I told Joel this earlier, I wake up in the middle of the night and sometimes I can't go back to sleep, and I'll sit up and I'll open up the book of Psalms. That is, if you don't encourage me to listen to another passage, like Right now, I'm interested in Hebrew chapter 12, Brother J.T., that you used that twice. And then we heard it last week or a week before even. It's been used several times lately. So I want to read more about the book of Hebrews. Okay. Psalm 62 says, surely my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. I believe all of us in here know the Lord. And we're waiting for him. We're waiting for his return. And Brother J.T., I think you said the second return, second coming.
Yeah.
I can't count higher than that. I can't. I'm sorry, but I have trouble counting higher than that.
Yeah,
but I'm waiting. I'm waiting for that time when the Lord will return. If we pass on before he returns, those that belong to him will go to be with him in heaven. I believe that. But those that don't belong to him, they've got a problem. A severe problem. An eternal problem.
Amen.
An eternal problem that they cannot get out of. An eternal problem that they must pay the price. And they'll spend all of eternity trying to pay that price. Well, they can't do it. Absolutely impossible for the lost man. Someone mentioned the term reprobate. I believe it was Bruce or Brother JT. One of you mentioned the term reprobate. It's foolishness on our part to pray for that reprobate. And that's scary for me to say that, Bruce. Because it's useless. They are forever a reprobate before God. Verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's the one we're waiting for. He is my defense. For every problem that we ever have in this lifetime, he is our defense. Brother JT, when that tornado come, the Lord was your defense. We might not recognize him. We might not understand it. Why did it happen this way? It was to serve his purpose. And had you come down here and tell us about it a little bit. We have these kind of stories that come up in our life, and we count them as, well, we were most fortunate, and we were, but it's by the grace of God. When we go through these situations, I remember, Linda, a few years ago, a hurricane come through our neighborhood. I believe that was a hurricane, but it rained a whole lot, and water continued to come up the street from the bow down there. And it rained and it rained and it rained, and I was wondering if it was going to ever stop raining. And at first I said, well, we'll drive out of here. We'll go somewhere else where it's higher. Then a little while later I said, well, we'll have to go out the back side of the subdivision over here and walk out part of the way. But whatever the case was, well, we'd be safe, you know, we'll be okay. And then the water kept getting higher and higher, and I finally figured out, well, we couldn't drive to the end of the block or walk that far. We'd be in a heck of a mess, excuse my words. It would be a mess. So at one point, the water kept rising up, coming up down the street, began to fill the street up and everything, and it come up in the yard, and I looked out the back window, and I said, well, I'll get the step ladder and I'll put it at that back fence, Brother JT, and we'll climb over that fence and get out of here. and we'll be okay. We'll take care of ourselves. And the water continued to come up, and it came right up to the back of our car. And I called Linda, and I said, Linda, I said, the Lord knows right where we are. I remember that. Is that what I said, Linda? The Lord knows where we are. I said, that's all I know to say. And by His grace, it stopped raining. Mm-hmm. And the water came right up to the back of the wheels of the car that was in the driveway, and within 10 inches, it would have been in the house. What can I say about it? All I know is that the Lord prevailed. I didn't have anything to do with it. His grace was sufficient. It come right up there and get in it. There were other people on the street that water run into their house. I don't know what their relationship with the Lord is or was. But we knew that in the hands of God, we were safe. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And could I tell more stories like that? Brother JT, I worked on a house where I had to go through the floor out in the middle of the house to work on the plumbing and the work within in the bathroom. And somewhere along the line, I'm trying to remember exactly how all this went. But the weather changed. And it began to rain and began to pour. And I didn't want that water coming back up in the house, so we blocked the pipe off so it wouldn't back into the house. Mm-hmm. And finally it stopped raining and everything. The water started going down. Everything was okay and everything, so I finished the job. And lo and behold, the people that owned the house, I had taken the cap off the plumbing, Brother JT, and water did continue to come into the house. And the people that lived there and were living in the house, everything was, they realized it was just one of those things. But they had a daughter and a son-in-law that lived in another place, some miles away. And they wanted me to make all the repairs and damage that had been done by the flooding, under the house and on the house, in the floor of the house, wherever it damaged. I don't remember all the different places. But there was damage made, and they wanted me to repair it. But the guy that was going to do all the arm wrestling and all the acute accusations, he told his wife, which was the daughter of the people that lived in the house, what he was going to do. He was going to sue me. And when he made that statement, the very next day, he was caught in another man's house. And he dropped dead. He dropped dead the very next day. And I never heard another word from him out of that situation there. Because it really wasn't my fault whatsoever. Bruce, sometimes we have people that accuse, make accusations against us and against our families and everything. But God is our defense. Now, the reason I didn't ever hear another word from him is I didn't call him back. Now, you can judge me any way you want to, but I wasn't fixing to start a conversation with him, with the family. Okay? I shall not be greatly moved, is what the scripture reads. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? He shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. When we go out into this world, it's amazing how many people are going to be against us. And sometimes it just suddenly comes. It, from a place that we're not expecting to us, and greater than what we were ever expecting. But evil thoughts and evil conditions will rise up against us. My soul and thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Let me read that again. But my soul, wait thou only upon God. And that's what we are. We're waiting on God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And that's what the scriptures already said. But that, here I'm down in verse 6 now, by the way. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Anytime we have a problem, whether it's a flat tire or something, some kind of major incident, God is our refuge and our place of help. We can call out unto him. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And that's what I want everybody in here to remember. He is our refuge. Joy, he's your refuge too. He's my refuge. Whatever the problem is, whatever the situation of life is, but it is to teach us a lesson and to glorify and please him. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie to be laid in the balance. They are altogether higher than vanity. Trust not in oppressions and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, well, set not your heart upon them. Now that one bothers me a little bit. It bothers me a whole lot. Because every time I go to buy something at home, every time I see the things that we have, and some kind of transaction goes to take place, Bruce, how much is it going to cost me? Sometimes I feel like I count the value of things before I do the grace of God. I see them as being more important than the grace of God. But it's not. The grace of God, our relationship with the Lord is more important than anything else. God had spoken once. I'm in verse 11. Now this is a repeat story, Brother Jordan. And you going over, I know where you're going. You're going to the book of Job. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. That power belongeth unto God. And it does belong to him. All power. Now we might think that we can control a lot of things around our household and our lifestyle and everything. But God is in absolute control. Now things can turn out just right for us. But God made the changes. he brought it about to our benefit. Also unto thee, did you find it, Brother JT? Over in the book of Job?
No, I was looking at something else.
God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. You know, Job used those very same words nearly. Chapter 33, I believe it is.
It is 33:14.
Aha! Somebody's already looked it up. It's in the footnote. It's in the notes.
Yeah.
Mine too. That's where I found it. But Job used those words.
Right.
He has spoken once. God has spoken many times in our scripture. And Bruce, since you raised up your thoughts there and everything, all of his thoughts come within that one verse that you've mentioned to us before, Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God. And we're so finite, and we're so infantile in our thinking that we cannot give him credit. We cannot know his knowledge. We cannot understand all that. Well, we think we have power. We think we have a place in this matter, even though we belong to the Lord. Now, Lord, you know I belong to you. Let's do it this way. No, that's not the way it's going to turn out in the end. We might say that all we want to, but in the end, the Lord will succumb to serving his purpose. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Brother JT, is that God's work or the man's work?
Either one.
It doesn't matter.
He renders for his work if you do it either.
That's correct. Absolutely.
According to your work, you reap whatsoever you sow.
And it comes from being obedient to the Lord. If he lines you out an ordeal of places to go or circumstances of life or whatever, and you're obedient, you claim it, well, God prevails. It serves his purpose. But if you rebel and turn against him and you say, oh, I'm not going to do that, the Lord still prevails. He always prevails.
Yeah.
Thou tent renders to every man according to his work. I know your shoulders are new, brother. That's okay. If you need to get up and stretch it around, we'll do it. Whatever.
No, it gets hurt and it don't let nothing happen.
Yeah, sometimes I have a problem in my wrist down here. Doctor said, oh, that's just rheumatoid arthritis. How long does it stop hurting? It usually don't bother me until I lay down in bed at night. That's when it really hurts me. In the deep daytime, if I'm moving around, I'm not too bad of shape. I feel pains going through it once in a while. Everything in our life goes back to our God and our Savior. You cannot get by without giving God credit. You cannot get by in any particular fact. Everything will serve his purpose. Even if you can't sing, Bruce, it will glorify and please him some way. And I hope my singing pleases him, because I don't feel like I can. Okay, I want us all to turn over to another passage of Scripture. If I can find it, 1 Thessalonians. Oh, there it is. Ain't got many pages. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians. We'll go to chapter 5. Now, as far as I'm concerned, this is our main topic for today. But the Lord will place the main topic on your heart. I'm going to go down to verse 16. He said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. How do you pray, Brother JT? Without ceasing, and it be to the joy. And our joy is to continue evermore. How do you pray without our joy being fulfilled?
You pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit can pray without stopping.
That's correct.
And having a public prayer, but you can have prayer. The Spirit can be prayerful all the time.
But there must be joy there involved.
Well,
I feel like there must be.
Yeah, the joy is that you can go before the Lord with boldness.
Right.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Because he is our advocate with the Father and the Holy Ghost, then prays for things that we don't need to know about.
Right. He's always available.
Yeah.
But the next verse says, praying without ceasing.
It's communicating with God.
Praying without ceasing is communicating.
And you can think in your mind and giving thanks to God.
That's without
praising
ceasing.
Praising God.
Without ceasing.
It's not always a verbal, like JT said, public prayer. But you know, when you're at work and you've got a task at hand, do it unto the Lord.
What did I do with my notes? Oh, they're on the floor. Don't laugh at me, Betty. Now, Linda, I always ask Linda, I said, Linda, come pick that up. But this time I'll pick it up. But I want to read some of my notes here. And if you have any comments, like this has already been done, or if you have any complaints or corrections, feel free to speak up. That's what I want. We're here to pray. We're here to please the Lord. We're here to worship Him. And one of the songs that we just sang. What's the name of that song, Linda?
The Holy Manna. Brethren, we have met to worship.
We have met to worship. That's what we're here for. I'm thankful for that song that was chose. Very briefly, with great power, full of words. I believe that, and we've already discussed that, Brother JT. To pray without ceasing, there must be some kind of joy there, as you expounded upon. Two things that should go on in a Christian's life. A Christian's life is a continual thing, communication with the Lord. Bruce called it a communication, and it is. That's exactly what it is. It's communication with the Lord. And we do it with rejoicing hearts. We first rejoice in them. In prayer. Whatever our circumstances are, whatever we have on our mind, you can pray without rejoicing. You cannot truthfully pray and rejoice without the other. I believe they're both included, Brother Jordan. To Christ, when the tornado missed your house, said, thank you, Lord. When that storm that we were talking about, where it flooded, the water flooded up toward our house and everything, and it didn't, it stopped. Thank you, Lord. We prayed about it. It's our prayer on our mind and our heart. There's a story of a Methodist not so many years ago. And the story is that he would pray for 15 minutes and then for 15 minutes he'd rest. But he was known in the community as a praying preacher, but he wasn't a preacher. He was just a Christian that knew God's word. But he would pray for 15 minutes, and then rest for 15 minutes, then he'd pray again. And his life was like that. He may spend a few minutes of prayer, a few minutes of no prayer, and after that he would pray again. And that's what the Christian's life should be like. His mind and his heart should be on prayer continually. I do believe that you cannot pray without ceasing unless there's joy in your heart someplace. Joy must be there. There must be a time of rejoicing. But just because you see rejoicing in the midst of people does not mean that he's praying. I visited Linda and I visited her church last week, and in that church, there was many actions of praising the Lord. And I could not understand them because they were speaking in Spanish. I had no idea what they were saying. But I did not sense the Spirit of God in their prayer. But there was much singing and praising and raising of hands and slinging of hands, and some of them stand up and some type of dancing or something like that. And they pretended to be rejoicing there. I don't know whether they ever thought they were praying or not, but I didn't sense any prayer there.
Well, you're not supposed to pray to be seen. Most earnest prayer is going into the closet.
Okay, the closet is where?
Going outside.
Outside, yeah.
Just between you and God, that's where you pray. Mm-hmm. It's not to the people, but to God.
Correct, I agree with that. So
the intercession made through Jesus Christ and prayer is heard by the same power. So it's better to go in your closet and pray instead of the
people. Because it might be a desk that you're sitting at. It might be inside your car. It might be in the garage.
Yeah.
Or it might be standing in front of the washer and dryer in the carport. Or it might somewhere where you're alone. When you're all alone and your mind and your heart opens up to God.
That church where you were at last week, they were praying in tongues.
Yeah.
Well, it was Spanish is all I know.
Well, that's tongues. To you, it's tongues. To me, it would be tongues.
I definitely didn't understand it. And I sensed an element of, some element of...
Chrismaniacs?
They were something that I don't know what they were.
That's what that is.
Yeah, it's chrismaniacs.
They were charismatic.
Well, I call them chrismania.
Yeah.
Even the English was in tongues.
I've heard that story. See, a fellow said the hardest he'd ever prayed and most earnest was that time he fell in the well head first.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness. He was in bad shape. You know, and we see a lot of these situations on TV now. People have an accident, and they get out of the car, and they're praying and thanking the Lord.
They have just absolutely made an open show of disrespect to God and all this. Jump up and ask for everybody to pray. And all this, you know, and like, the more talks, the more God will hear, but he doesn't hear at all.
I don't think he does either, but yeah. If a person's going to pray...
That's why he finished this psalm up like that. For thou renderest to every man according to his work.
Right.
And that's not a good word.
No.
It's the humbleness of heart is good work. But all this praise and worship stuff they got going on today is simply not a good work. There's no humbleness
in
it. Right. They may be insincere as ever, but you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong.
They are wrong.
But there must be an humble attitude, or you just will forget praise.
Well, sometimes, I believe they do this because, well, everybody expects me to say these words. Everybody expects me to say good things about God's work and what God has blessed them with and the miracles that God has performed in saving their life. And it's no good.
In 1 Peter, 1 chapter, verse 17, said, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth, and that's what he's talking about in that last verse, judges it according to every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, and your vain conversation receiveth by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily foreordained before the foundation world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So, you to finish up your days here in fear, in reverence, in other words, humbleness
right.
of heart. That Lord doesn't hear proud heart, or he don't hear all this praise and worship junk they got
no.
going on now.
No.
We're to order ourselves in a peaceable manner.
Well, this church that we were talking about, their praise service was for a whole hour, and there was never one division between one. Well, there was no divisions in there. Nobody had ever stopped for 1 hour. They raised their hand and they danced and they exclaimed in Spanish or in whatever foreign tongue it was. And
see, those kinds of people, the charismatics, they are more driven by sensory things, sensual things. I don't necessarily mean sexual, but
correct, right.
Emotions and adrenaline, that kind of a thing.
Well, okay, let me say that, speaking of emotions and adrenaline, they would, their time of praise was to be shown, was to glorify themselves, was to I don't know what else to say about it.
I've had a few experiences with people like that, and they that is how they think of worshiping God. And when I one person that I was talking with flat told me they didn't like hymns. They liked their praise and worship music, and that was important. That was important enough to them that they had nothing more to do with me. Because I don't, to me that's not praise and worship.
It wasn't.
No, let's take like KSBJ. That's a praise and worship station. KHB.
That's from out of Conroe or?
No, the one out of Conroe is pretty good actually. It's mostly talk, I think. KSBJ, I'm not sure where it's at, but they play the contemporary music. They do the praise and worship music.
A Christian's prayer time is more important than his job. It's more important than your shopping. Remember that, Linda. Your prayer time is more important than your shopping. It's more important than graduating from school. It's more important than your education. Now, some of these things are discussable, I know that. But all of these things that I'm talking about are time-consuming. And our prayers and our conversation with the Lord should not be forgotten. It's more important than I don't know whether I can say it this way, because somebody will disagree with me, but it's not, But it's more important, your part time is more important than your relationship with your children. Okay? You won't rightly raise them if you don't have prayer time with them. It's more important than your relationship with your wife or your husband, your spouse. If you have not been rejoicing in these areas, you have not truly prayed. Not truly. You need to start each day. Now, this is one of my goals, but yet I fail, Bruce, I really do. But each day should be starting with a time of prayer and reading God's Word. Now, I have a real short time of memory. I'll read a passage of scripture and I say, well, now I'm going to remember that. Don't laugh. You have a good memory. I don't. I have a terrible time remembering what the Lord has said in the scripture. Now, that was a good scripture that you read to us a few minutes ago out of 1st or 2nd Peter, wherever it was. And it's a good passage. And I should remember that. Now, I knew that there were some good passages over there in 1 Peter. In fact, there are good passages in all parts of God's Word. Nothing will go well if you don't start the day off in prayer. Nothing. If God is not in charge of your life and your style and whatever you do to accomplish anything that day, if you set out to accomplish something, it usually won't work out right. Is that right, Brother JT?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to think on the day. And it's not just thinking of, what am I going to do? Say, Lord, I need help today. I need His blessings every day.
Well, if you're a Christian, don't you feel that He is with you all the time?
Yes, that's correct. Absolutely. He is with you. But He commands us to pray. And I believe that it's important for us to go to remind, to go to, first of all, that we're reminded.
Well, you were talking about like at work or
any place.
You have this with you, I guess.
Yes, that's true. Absolutely. You have it with you. But you can't completely forget about Him when you're starting something, a new project or a new job or new anything. You can't just leave Him out. When we go to the grocery store, we try not to forget about the Lord. I hope that we don't forget about the Lord. He is there to help take care of us. And He doesn't just help, He does take care of us. You know, when you're growing up with a family, Bruce, your family will know whether you're thinking about the Lord. When you turn toward the Lord, they will know.
I know, they're just speak of it.
What?
With your children. I know there are some scriptures that say.
That doesn't necessarily mean every single word that comes out has to be quotes from God's word. But they should know that we live for the Lord. That He is in our mind. And thus He needs to be in their mind. If they don't recognize your prayer, when you pray before the Lord, they will be recognized. There must be something more to be thankful for. Our mind and our heart must be toward God continually. I want this church and my family to be known as a praying church. Know that with us here, at least once a month, we gather together and we think about the Lord, and we have prayer, and communicate with the Lord, and cry out unto Him. Not a club here. Some go to church just because part of their family goes to church. Those people that I saw in that church service I was talking about, by the way, since then I've seen two of them in other places. One of them was at McDonald's. He didn't walk in there was singing praises unto the Lord. And I'm not trying to condemn him. I'm telling you, I didn't understand what he was doing in the service. But he walked in there speedily, and I did not see him praising the Lord or singing songs unto the Lord. He wasn't glorifying the Lord in any way that I understood him to be understanding. But everybody that went to that church over there, seemingly, well, they went there because they were part of a club. We don't come here because this is a club, Brother JT. Mm-hmm. I hope we don't. Mm-hmm. Somebody said last week, Bruce, that I had been faithful, that our family had been faithful to the services here over a great number of years. And I was not considering this a place of a club. I come here to study God's Word and to worship Him and have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. But there is an element of prayer on my mind and my heart. For every person here. We are not to be pretending to be someone. And you know, if somebody's pretending here, I don't know that they're pretending. Can you, Bruce? so many places you go to, and you've mentioned some already, that when you go somewhere, they're pretending to be someone. Or be it some special organ. We passed the church down here on down the 249. And they had so many cars in the each side of that building, the north side and the south side of the car, one after the other. I don't even know how they could have handled all the people that were there. They might be public, they might be worshiping the Lord. I don't know that. But I know one thing. There was a great number of people there in that place. I hope they all knew the Lord. And I hope they were worshiping the Lord. When we pray to the Lord, we are to really pray unto the Lord. It's not just to show ourselves to everybody that's in the congregation, but we're here to pray unto the Lord. Communicate is what you use. Communicate with the Lord. That's what we're here for. I'm not here to communicate with you, Brother JT. I do listen to what you have to say. And it does strike an element of within me that it might, he's praying for so-and-so. Well, I need to do that too. I try to be careful with that idea of we are here to pray for to the Lord. So let's pray here today to God. And we're not here to impress anybody else. We're here to press pray unto the Lord. We're not here to pray with vain
repetition.
You want to do this?
No. No, thank you.
That's right. Vain repetitions.
Like the Pharisee.
Correct. Right. That's what the Pharisee was like. And I've caught myself. I'm not denying this. I hadn't had this problem before. I pray something in the beginning, and if somebody so much as asked me to pray again in the future, I'll say the same thing. So we need to be careful with vain repetitions. But the vain repetition could be very important. We need to be praying to the Lord and having communication with Him. So that's what we're going to do. Brother JT, we're going to have prayer. I'm going to ask Brother JT and Bruce and Joel, if you would, to end it up and lead us in a word of prayer. Brother JT.
Our most precious Father in heaven, we come once again to the end of this service. We pray, Heavenly Father, that it would not end here, that we would carry the things we've heard today in our heart, be prayerful about it, be always obedient to your word. We ask, Lord, that you continue to bless us as you have in the past. Open up your word to us. Lord, let us see what you have us to do and work and be humble unto your will. We pray, Heavenly Father, once again, that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that there might be peace that reign everywhere.
Amen.
That we would have the manna that fall down from heaven, that we might just gather it up and consume it and be moved by it and be helped by it and comforted by it. Now, Lord, bless your people wherever they are assembled. Lord, there's so little today seems like it's being spoken, spirited in truth. Mm-hmm. We pray, Heavenly Father, that truth might be come out wherever it is. Lord, even those that are outside of your grace or have knowledge of you, and they are without excuse. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that you might turn even them, that they might turn unto you. Now bless your church, Lord. Go with us as we go on through this life. Go with us across the Jordan into the promised land. Lord, now I ask these things in thy name and for thy sake. Amen.
Our Father and our God, thank you for these things that we've heard today, Lord, and we thank you that we know that there is a God and that he was fully manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And Lord, he spoke to us, and those words were written down, and Lord, he appointed apostles, and they too spoke and wrote, and those, some of those have been written down. Yeah. And we have those words today, and we can read them and learn of you and learn of ourselves. And Lord, we know from what we read that all things are of you and all things are for you. And Lord, we know that all that happens in our life happens for divine purposes and by a divine God. And Lord, we know that just as the storm that came this week, some folks were harmed by it, others weren't. And Lord, we know that's of you. And Lord, I thank you. I do not know anybody who suffered from that storm, but there were people that did.
Yeah.
And Lord, we do pray for those people that they will overcome these things. And quite possibly, Lord, some of them will turn to you. And those of us who weren't affected, may we truly be thankful that you spared us.
Yeah.
And Lord, we know that in this life there is going to be tribulations and trials and chastisements. And Lord, I pray that we would bow to each of those.
Yeah.
And Lord, not be puffed up and think that we're anything because we're not. But you are. You are our Lord and our God. And we are forever grateful for that. And Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for each one who's here. And Lord, we do pray that you'll return our pastor and his wife back to us for next Lord's Day. And Lord, be with each of us as we depart and go our ways. But Lord, may we stay in communion
with
you and please you. Thank you for all things, Lord. It's in Jesus' name and for this sake we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
And Heavenly Father, we do come once again before the young men, Lord, asking that you hear the prayers of your people. Lord, we have many concerns these days. There's so much deceit and sinfulness and all kinds of diversities about to lead these astray. And Father, we pray, Lord, especially for our young children, that you and for those in this congregation, Lord, we all need your guidance. And Father, we
difficult to use for all the things that we do need. We are indeed grateful for all that you have supplied, for your faithfulness to us. Lord, we are indeed thankful for the food that we have, the homes that we live in, all these things we know came from thee, not from our own due diligence and strength of our own selves, Lord. We can't labor and it can't be in vain. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that we have. Most importantly, we are thankful, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us and brought us out of this world, Lord, that we might be honored and glory to you in all things. And Father, we ask your remembrance as we leave this place and in the days to come, Lord, that you would minister to us in whatever fashion, Lord. As Brother Bruce said, that we do, we would be able to fellowship together in those times that we can come together. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you hide us in the cleft, that rock that is your Son, Jesus Christ. And we are indeed thankful for him, for his sacrifice for us. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.